I don't know what your title is, actually. I'm going to.
President.
President.
Of the social club.
Of the social. President of the
Vice President of Human Resources.
Yeah. Of the Scotch Social Club.
Scotch Social Club.
Scotch Social Club.
This episode is brought to you by Texas Mutual Insurance Company, the state's leading provider of workers' compensation insurance. Since 1991, Texas Mutual has been helping employers prevent workplace accidents. To learn more about how Texas Mutual provides a competitively priced source of workers' comp insurance for Texas employers, visit www.texasmutual.com. Welcome to Austin Hires Local, your inside access to the work behind workforce development, powered by Workforce Solutions Capital Area. Join us as we dive deep into conversations with trailblazers across the local, state, and national workforce development ecosystem. From elected officials to industry leaders and educators, we uncover candid insights and innovative solutions shaping our workforce landscape. Get ready to explore the intersection of education, economy, and opportunity. This is Austin Hires Local, where the future of our workforce begins.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Austin Hires Local podcast, where we have real conversations with real people on the record, because so much of what we do is off the record. We're going to bring it on the record. My name is Tamara Atkinson. I have the honor of serving as the CEO for Workforce Solutions Capital Area, and I am joined by a very special guest who also happens to be my boss, the chairman of our board, Mark Sherry. Mark, why don't you tell us your title?
Yeah, let me do that. Thank you, Tamara, for having me. My official title is Vice President of Human Resources for Business Strategic Services and Workforce here in the Greater Austin region.
Does that
region.
Fit on one card?
That does fit on one card with some initials after it. Absolutely.
Okay.
We can make sure that fits. Actually, we've got away from using business cards now. We just put it all on LinkedIn.
That's too fancy for me, Mark.
A LinkedIn tab from that standpoint.
Now, you said that's your official title. So what's your unofficial title?
Well, I really enjoy the role that I have here as chairperson of Workforce Solutions Capital Area.
Good. I thought you were going to take that into somewhere, Mark.
I know. I did too. I thought it was going to be...
I could have.
The Scotch Social Club.
It's called a human performance engineer, actually. Isn't that a cool title?
I like that. That's what your title unofficially is?
I've told you this funny story.
Performance engineer?
So I worked for an engineering company when I started, doing a high-tech research and development company that operated 5 national centers of excellence. And as part of that, you started understanding growing up job titles. They paid you based on your job title. So business typically was the lowest end of the pay scale. Engineering was the highest end of the pay scale. So in terms of innovation, I thought, why not change my title to have engineer in it, which would then increase my pay, correct?
Did it
work?
I mean,
you'd think that would be logical if they were paying engineers higher than business associates. So I came up with a title and tried to implement that to our senior executive that I was now a human performance engineer.
Did it work? Did it stick?
It didn't work. He liked the title. He said, you can call yourself whatever you want, but this is what we're paying you.
So you got the title, but not the compensation.
Exactly. So I got the title of human performance engineer, but not the compensation.
So I'd like to maybe reintroduce myself now. I'm not the CEO of Workforce Solutions Capital Area. I am the chief people engineer. For workforce development in Austin, Texas.
There you go.
There you go. There's my new title.
That
Thank
sounds.
You. Does that come with a compensation increase?
That sounds tremendous. That sounds tremendous.
Thank you.
I think there are a lot of benefits that'll come with that.
I hope so. I'm counting on it, Mr. Chair.
Absolutely.
So, Mark, we're a workforce board. We're Workforce Solutions. I'm always interested in how people got to where they are now. So, tell me a little bit about. Your first job, what was it? What'd you learn? Did you like it? Yeah. And how did it impact where you are now?
Thank you for that question. When we talk about first jobs, I want to take a job that had a tremendous influence on me and led me in the career direction that I am right now. And I think like a lot of hardworking students and individuals that had to pay for school, I had an opportunity to work in our college career service office. And through that experience to see job seekers and see employers come in and better understand what they're looking for in a potential candidate and in a future employee with their organization. So that was a tremendous opportunity for me. And with that, it expanded into being an assistant to the university president in terms of bringing in speakers and national speakers.
Wow.
And through that, I was able to become reliable, I guess, as a student, and had the opportunity to bring in Fred Rogers of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood to our university.
That's great.
I got to become his chauffeur and bodyguard during that time period. We spent a full weekend together and just picking up so much insight and having the ability to talk to Fred Rogers, an idol that I grew up with watching on television and listening to stories of, was a tremendous experience. So I don't know how much it was a first job, but it does teach you the jobs you enjoy doing, you keep coming back to and you keep referencing. So that is certainly one that stands out in my mind.
That's great. So I'm just curious, because it seems like everyone loves Mr. Rogers. Did anyone like rush Mr. Rogers? Did you actually have to be a bodyguard for
him?
Yeah,
I did not have to become a bodyguard for Mr. Rogers, which was a good piece that we did not have to engage at that standpoint. But just being able to see the presence of him and the appeal from the audience to listen to his commencement ceremony at the university always sticks out in my mind, of the audience that he drew, and then just continuing to see him on television now when you look back and say, hey, I was part of that.
You were part of keeping him alive and safe.
That's exactly, alive and safe. I think I was more concerned with driving and making sure that I didn't hit anything or anybody hit him.
I've seen your driving, so that's fair.
The most nerve-wracking.
That's fair that he might be a little nervous over that.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, and what I love about your story, going back to where you started, is you've been a workforce development professional starting when you were in college. And I love that. And so I love your story, where you started, being grounded in people looking for work, having to best present themselves, you know, in their best light, so someone, employer, will hire them. Well, let's talk about where you are now. I mean, you are not only an executive in healthcare, but you also are the chair of our board of directors.
Yes, very honored.
So thank you for that. So as you sit in that position as chair of a workforce board, and you think about companies in our community that we at Workforce Solutions are trying to serve, like, what advice do you have for them, or what priorities are you seeing that companies have or should have when it comes to talent development?
Yeah, thank you. I think there's a parallel of my career trajectory in the industry that I'm in healthcare. It's about helping people. And I think the same thing when you look at workforce development, you look at the work that Workforce Solutions is offering, it's about helping people. And both those are parallel to each other. And I'm excited that I have an opportunity every day to impact people's lives, not only on the healthcare side, but also in employment. And we always have a saying in healthcare, you don't go to a hospital because you need to. You're usually in tough times when you come into the hospital, majority of people. And I think in the workforce, it can be the same outcome. People are coming in here because they are unemployed. They're seeking a change in their career. They need to earn more, to make a higher living. And this is an opportunity for us to impact a number of people and a large group of people through the programs that we offer and the education we can provide here at Workforce Solutions.
I really appreciate what you're saying. And I actually had never thought of the parallel between healthcare and what we do in workforce. So thank you for giving me that framing. You know, here at Workforce Solutions Capillaria, Mark, we've really looked deeply at what we uniquely provide in this market. And what's interesting and not coincidental, I guess, is it's very similar to what you said. I heard you talking about having a spirit of caring and being very personalized. We believe we have three uniques here. One is that we offer a person that someone can talk to when they are, in some cases, feeling at their lowest or worst or need help.
Absolutely.
So, and that's not unlike healthcare, right? So we've got a person. Also, not unlike healthcare, we're going to help individuals build a plan so that they can get the skills training and ultimately employment that they want. Because what we care about, as you know, is seeing that local people have the skills to get good jobs so they can afford to stay here. And then last but not least, this is the caring part, is we offer hope to people that if they avail themselves of what we have to offer, that they are going to have similar outcomes or could. So I really love that you bring that perspective of caring for the individual sure. to this role as board chair.
Yeah. No, it's exciting. I think hope is the piece that bring people keep coming back. They hear it from their community members. They have personal testimony about they came in with hope and they came out with an outcome that has been a tremendous success on a way that's impacted their life that they didn't think they would have had when they came through the door. It is. It's almost like a treatment plan. You know, we need you on a healthcare side to go to physical therapy. You got to invest that time and the opportunity to do it. And I think we do the same thing here at Workforce Solutions. It's not a panacea. It's not a one-time solution. But you got to be willing to put the time in, the investment in. And if they want to do that, and they have the hope to do that, then I think we can help them here in the workforce side just as we do in healthcare.
Yeah, and thank you for your leadership on the board to help us stay focused on that track. So sure. Thank you, Mark.
Excited to do it, and there's a lot more work to do. So that's exciting.
Absolutely. So, Mark, we here at Workforce Solutions, as you know, we serve businesses in our community. And so it's no surprise that companies can have a hard time from time to time finding talent.
Right.
So what are you seeing in terms of the way business is approaching hiring that is good for the business, but it also has a return on investment? You know, because we sometimes talk about it from a worker perspective, like we want workers to get the job and make more money, but you're a business leader, so frame it from a business perspective for
me. Absolutely. I think there's a couple different angles we can look at from that standpoint. No doubt there's a war for talent.
Yes.
There's a war for talent across every sector that we support here at Workforce Solutions. Specifically in the healthcare side, we understand that we cannot buy our way out of a talent shortage, meaning the old post and pray. We can't put a position out on a website or a job board and hope that there's going to be enough candidates that apply for that position. That's a change in a mindset that I think industries have to start getting into.
Interesting.
The important piece for that is how do we create a new pipeline of talent to come into our industry or any industry to be able to create that new pipeline or surplus of talent that we need, particularly in this growth-oriented market here in Austin. I think our focus has come back to look at an entry-level worker. Where do we want to make that investment as an organization? A lot of organizations may be making that investment in their leader or their executives, but we've shifted a mindset a little bit to making that investment on the entry-level worker. How can we take the existing worker we have, over 55,000 employees, and tap into that talent and to grow them and upskill them into current positions that we have high demands for within our organization. I think that's a piece that we're starting to see not only in our organization, but in other organizations in healthcare, of taking your existing entry-level workforce and making an investment in them to become your next top employer, your next top clinical worker in areas that you have high demands for.
So, of course, as a workforce professional, I love what I hear you saying. I hear you say business, community, making an investment in workers so they can grow their skills. So that sounds great. But I can hear skeptics, Mark, in the business community say, yeah, but if I invest in training my entry-level workers, then they'll just leave me. So what advice would you have for companies that might be skeptical about why they should invest in frontline workers?
Sure, sure. You mentioned earlier, there's always the challenge with ROI. I think that's the first question we get asked is what's the return on investment? And there can be a dollar figure in that. I think we see, and we've been heavily in apprenticeships, and hopefully we'll talk about that a little bit more later on, that every dollar you put into apprenticeships, you're seeing $1.30 return on investment.
Oh, wow. So you can measure it. You can actually measure it.
There is a measurable piece that I think a lot of the financial people want to look at from that standpoint. But I'm going to take it from some of the benefits that we see coming out of working with our own employees and upskilling. One, you do see a retention piece.
Okay.
We see higher retention with those that we make an investment in. We also see engagement go up within our organization. So we continue to track those that we invest in. And we see the engagement of those individuals through our annual surveys in terms of the company appreciates me, they're investing in me to stay with this organization. We see in all industries, particularly from a healthcare standpoint, we trend that people leave organizations looking for their next career opportunity. What better way to invest in them so that they do want to stay with your organization, they don't have to go external to be able to do that. So counter to what you're saying, that we're training them to go somewhere else, we're actually trying to create a loyal customer or an employee or team member that will want to stay with us because they have an opportunity to grow and to develop within our organization.
So I love what I heard you say. So I heard three things. Tell me if I got it right. I heard that when it comes to ROI for investing in your frontline workers, you can have better retention and you can measure that.
Sure.
You can have better engagement and you can measure that. And then I heard you say third, that you can help workers see a career pathway in your organization, or if we're talking to other companies, in their companies, to grow in that company. Did I get that right?
I think you're spot on. I think there's one other one that we lose track of. A lot of cases, we can correlate this and tie it back to community involvement.
Okay.
And that opportunity is now that individuals can stay within the communities that they grew up in or the communities they serve. And we like to do that in healthcare. We like to make sure that the people that are taking care of our patients are the ones that are in the communities that they live in, that resemble them. And this has been an important piece for us, and it's showing some favorable results for us in terms of our satisfaction numbers, both on the team member side and also on the patient side.
Well, I really appreciate what you're saying, because as you know, here in Austin, we are dealing with an affordability issue where we track the numbers and we see so many people feel like they have to move outside of our community to be able to afford to live. And what I hear you saying, both for your company and you're advocating, I hear you advocating for other companies, is that really, if you build these pathways, these career pathways for these employees, by extension, we are addressing affordability. We are helping people be able to see their lives and growing their families right here in our community.
Absolutely. We hear all the time from our employees, I can't afford to continue to work here. Mm. I have to go somewhere else and look for another opportunity. And that's because, again, the affordability, I think, it is becoming expensive. We see that in rent. We see that in childcare. And what we're trying to do is by providing them that career path, that opportunity to earn and learn, right?
Okay.
The key word, earn and learn, they're able to remain in the communities that they grew up in, and they're able to stay here. And that's important, keeping the families together and keeping them in the communities that they grew up in is just extremely important for us.
So let's talk about earn and learn.
Yeah.
And let's talk about keeping people here. So you are, and I'm not just blowing smoke because you're my board chair. I mean, you are, by objective measure, you are a true ambassador for apprenticeships. So I remember, Mark, sitting down with you several years ago and you mapping out, it may or may not have been on a cocktail napkin, mapping out a vision for growing apprenticeship in this area. Why apprenticeship? Why did it make sense to you?
Sure.
And then what does it mean to be an apprenticeship ambassador, and how are you sharing the word?
Yeah. Thank you. First, it's been an honor. And again, your team has been extremely helpful to guide me and educate me through all the documentation and the detailing that
there is a lot of documentation
that a registered apprenticeships can bring you. I think what we learned, particularly in healthcare, we do a lot of apprenticeships right now in terms of a very similar model. We just don't call them apprenticeships.
Okay.
The ability for us to leverage what an apprentice does as they continue to work for us, to learn new trades and advance their skills and be able to earn additional income, has been a tremendous asset. And it's been a tremendous asset in terms of retaining them, as we mentioned a little bit earlier, and also engaging them within our organizations. So apprenticeships have been valuable, that it has helped us create a pathway. It's created a roadmap where employees now know that the additional competencies and the skills that they gain, that they will see a progressive wage increase with that as they gain new skills and new competencies within our organization. Additionally, it's provided a framework that they don't have to give up their current job to go back to school. A lot of these individuals, and I love to tell the story, and we've seen that story early on about employees that maybe have left school early because of a family situation. They've had to take care of a child, which should be their first priority, but they've had to give up a career that they've wanted for such a long time to be able to do that, or they've had to take care of a family member or an elderly parent. This provided an opportunity for this group of individuals to now come back and follow a dream that they had, to get back into that career, that healthcare career of advancement to become a nurse, to become a physician, to become some other high demand positions that we have within the organization. So apprenticeship has let us do that. It's created a pathway to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. And we continue to champion that and look at other ways where we can expand that.
This episode is brought to you by Texas Mutual Insurance Company, the state's leading provider of workers' compensation insurance. Since 1991, Texas Mutual has been helping employers prevent workplace accidents. To learn more about how Texas Mutual provides a competitively priced source of workers' comp insurance for Texas employers, visit www.texasmutual.com.
So I've got a question about this, because when I'm out in the community, Mark, I hear sometimes people get a little hung up on the word apprenticeship. But I think you might have answered this, but I want to double down on this. And that is, I also heard you say earn and learn, on-the-job training, apprenticeship. So should employers get, in your opinion, get hung up on the term, or is it the concept of on-the-job learning and a graduated pay scale? Like, help me understand, yeah, especially if anyone's watching this and they're like, yeah, I don't know, apprenticeship sounds like unions, and there is a union-based apprenticeship,
sure,
and we like them and we work with them.
Sure.
But what is your opinion about all that?
I think there's a number of different views to look at it. The registered apprenticeship for us, again, the benefit, it defines a competency-based program that outlines a roadmap for us and for the candidate, that once they see incremental increases in the skills or competencies they gain, that they see a monetary reward for those types of skills. And that is very important to us as an organization, that employees are able to benefit from gaining those skills and those competencies. The more individuals we have with higher skill sets, the better the outcome is going to be, we see, for that patient, and also for our patient satisfaction within our organization. There are many different ways to grow skills, absolutely, within an organization. But we feel this one works very well for us, and we've seen success of individuals grasping it and moving forward with it as they demonstrate their skills. It's very defined for us. So it eliminates a lot of the gray in terms of, hey, I obtained this skill, but I'm not seeing a return for it, which then creates dissatisfaction, right? That's when the employee makes a decision of, maybe I want to leave and go to a different organization. I was not recognized or credited for the skills that I've attained. This definitely defines that for them, and they see that progression amongst their peers and others in the organization.
That makes so much sense to me, and I can see very clearly why you are considered an apprenticeship ambassador. So thank you for continuing to carry that strong message.
Yeah, no, thank you. Enjoy sharing that message. And that's been a huge challenge. And I think we're seeing it particularly here with our Central Texas Healthcare Partnership. Mm-hmm. It's growing and expanding, where all three of the big hospital systems now are heavily engaged in registered apprenticeships. And again, that's been a complete change of where we were 2-3 years ago. So I think we're starting to see the benefits of that, particularly in our labor market, in terms of the skill sets that we're seeing and filling some of the high critical need positions that we have within healthcare right now.
Well, you guys definitely are a model for how an industry can work together and use a similar model, but perhaps customized to each different employer. But at the end of the day, it's the same approach, which is meet a business need, help workers see a career pathway.
Absolutely.
And offer them objective way of seeing how their wages can grow. So thank you for being a champion there. Mark, you were just talking about how you've been able to, I'm going to give you credit for it, you were able to bring along an industry to lean into this earn and learn apprenticeship, right, whatever we want to call it. So kudos to you, but something tells me that, you know, that it's not just you guys alone. And thank you for recognizing the role of Workforce Solutions. But yeah, like, if you were giving advice to other industries or employers that are considering how they can attract and retain their workforce, what does it take to do this?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
what do you think maybe sets Austin apart, perhaps, in yeah, being successful in this area? Yeah.
Thank you for that question. It was a great question that you came up with.
Thanks. If only I'd come
appreciate
up with it.
you know, I think we need to remember the success is, to me, based on the work that this community has put in and the dedication. So we've taken something that has been built and just continued to grow and water it and fertilize it and make it stronger within our organization. And that is because of the community partners that were involved in this project and in developing the talent that we needed within our workforce sector. So through that, I sort of look at it as a three-legged stool. And when I talk to other industries and other healthcare organizations across the state and across the nation, it's all about that partnership. You can't do it alone. Yes, we are the center of either an apprenticeship model or any upskilling platform that you're looking at to grow your workforce, whether it's internally or externally. But I think it takes that commitment of strong partners such as yourself at Workforce Solutions Capital Area to be able to bring the group together. It takes a community partner from an educational system. We had the opportunity to start this partnership out with Austin Community College and the resources that they had to help us challenge the status quo in terms of how quickly we could turn this project around and sort of think differently than what traditional education was. And then as we continued to meet the demands, we continued to sit down and refine. So we came together as a group and started looking for additional pathways to enhance this project so we could see a higher number of candidates come through to fill those needs that we have. That's where we started bringing in Central Texas Healthcare Partners and started looking at other healthcare systems within the Austin market. Could they model this system that we currently had at Baylor Scott & White? Could we look at doing it virtually where we eliminated travel in physical location to be able to train individuals?
So remove all the barriers you can to make it as easy as possible.
I think that's a key word is what barriers were impacting us from seeing a larger number of individuals come through, and how do we remove those barriers? One of those examples may be we went to virtual training, and that happened over the COVID period. We sort of grasped a very difficult time in industry and leveraged the virtual training model to be able to tap into another group of candidates that maybe we didn't see before, which then kept them in the neighborhoods and the communities that they were in. They didn't have to sacrifice time and get away from their child and find daycare to come to a training class.
Sure.
They were able to do it in their home, which was an important piece for us. So it created a much shorter turnaround time for us to actually get them taking care of patients into our organization. So I think that's a piece that I want to highlight is that triad or that three-legged stool, that it does take the employer, it takes the workforce organizations, whether that be Capital Area or any other provider from that standpoint, and then your academic or your institutional partner that's going to be providing that training to get together and identify the barriers and see how quickly you can make this a success.
Yeah, thank you. So because you're such a visionary, and you know, you saw years ago the value of apprenticeship to meet not only your company's needs, but influence an industry. Where are you going next? Like, what do you see on the horizon, both in your industry perhaps, but also for Workforce Solutions?
Yeah.
Help us look into that crystal ball and tell us where we're going.
Yeah. I think you and I have had this conversation a little bit. At the very forefront, I think we can continue to look at how AI can help us progress this movement a little bit in the workforce standpoint. And that's going to be a challenge. I think if we don't get ahead of it now, we're going to be chasing and we're going to lose the momentum that we have currently in our workforce. So AI to me is obviously going to be an opportunity for us to expand upon, to gain some more insight. And how can we leverage those resources to make it easier for the job seeker?
Mm.
I think that'll be the challenge that's in front of us, and we're going to have to learn and do it pretty quickly because it is now forefront in the industry, and those that can do it well will be the leaders. And I think this is definitely something that the healthcare industry is looking at right now, but I think the workforce industry can really learn from that and be at the forefront of it. And I'm excited that you are interested in your team here at Workforce Solutions Capital Areas would be interested in exploring and being that leader in the implementation of AI.
Well, Mark, you know I'm competitive and I know you're competitive too. So if we've got an opportunity to continue to be number one, you know I'm going to want to do that. So thank you for that kind of advice about artificial intelligence, AI. Completely agree with you. And you recently completed an AI course yourself. So it sounds like you know a little thing or two about AI, right?
Yeah. I think all of us as professionals, no matter your age, right? It's been a while since I went back to school, but I think the opportunity was there to go back to school. And I think those are the pieces I'm talking about, investing in your employees. My organization invested in me to go back to MIT to get a certification in AI and healthcare. And I've learned a lot from it, and it has just fed me. It has lit the fire to go back and learn more and to gather more information on this wonderful technology.
So what I hear you saying is your company invested in your career development in the same way you advocate that work other workers in your organization. So it's walking the talk. I love that.
Absolutely.
I love that.
Absolutely.
So I guess last question from me, Mark, is you're a board chair. I think when you very first came on the board, I don't know if you had your eye on being a chair or not, but like, what has been the most surprising part of being a chair of a workforce board? And would you have any advice for anyone who is watching this, listening to this, who either might want to be on a board or consider being in a leadership role? Like, tell us about what the experience of being on a board.
Sure. I think first and foremost, it creates community. And that's been the most important thing for me. I did not grow up in Austin. I moved to Austin from outside the area, from another state. And it has created a network for me to be able to reach out to branch out to with other professionals that may not be in healthcare. One, it has created relationships in healthcare, particularly in our healthcare sector, but it's helped me expand that network of knowledge and create good relationships and friendships with yourself, with the other board chairs. Mm-hmm. And we continue to see new professionals join our board that are bringing knowledge and insight into it that I may not have gained or realized if I wasn't part of this organization. Being on the board and being part of that board chair has helped me expand that network even outside our board as we go to the professional conferences and interact with individuals from other states, from other workforce boards, and learn best practices from that group. But I will share, it does bring credibility to the work you're doing and the team here when they want to ask us what we're doing. And that's a great piece and reinforces what your passion is and what drives you to get up every day and do this type of work and know that you're making a difference.
Yeah, thank you. And what came to mind as you were talking is it's like a virtuous cycle of we learn from others. Like let's give credit where credit's due. When we did a best practice visit to Las Vegas a few years ago, we saw Mr. Jaime Cruz, if you're watching this, I'm giving you a shout out. We watched what he was doing around a podcast, and and the other board members said, we've got to do it here in Austin and look at us here. So there's this virtuous cycle of we get inspired, we R&D, rip off and duplicate things that are working.
Sure.
We bring it back, we bring our own spin on it, and then lo and behold, someone wants to learn from us, and we just keep going around that circle.
Yeah, no, I think that's absolutely the cycle that you got to share best practices. And then, as we did early on the apprenticeships, you look at barriers or look at ways to make them better. And that can, a lot of cases, be based on the environment that you're in and the challenge that you're facing. Not every city, every state has the same challenges. And then you have the ability to customize them, particularly with the knowledge of the board members that you have to be able to tap into and leverage those knowledge resources to be able to do that.
Yeah, thank you. Well, in 30 seconds or less, what makes you excited about where our board is right now?
I think the most important thing about our board is exciting is the diversity that we have on that board, from childcare to technology to frontline work, and then our newest sector, mobility. I think that's an important piece that we look at, and it's just the wealth of knowledge and communication and conversation that takes place during our meetings and the diversity of talent that we have, I think is extremely exciting. I feel confident with this group that we are going to be addressing a lot of the challenges that Austin faces today and in the future in terms of finding that right talent to support the industries that are coming in to Austin and the work that we're doing.
Well, thank you for being at the helm, Mark. I'm glad to be doing this work with you.
Thank you, and look forward to our future together.
Thank you. So, Mark, today in our conversation, let me recap what I've heard you say, and you tell me if I got it right. I've heard you talk about your career trajectory and how you started off in workforce and you still are in workforce. I love that.
Right.
I heard you talk about that really the secret sauce to what you do in your industry and what we do at Workforce Solutions is caring, is really putting the person first, so person-centric. I love that you talked about that. I loved that you talked about the solution that employers can take and have for retention, engagement, career growth. And I heard you talk about investing in frontline workers and all of this kind of manifesting through a best practice that you see in earn and learn or apprenticeship. And then I also heard you talk about what you call the three-legged stool of what makes an effective apprenticeship program. And I heard you say it's an employer that's got to have a passion like you have. It's got to be a workforce intermediary convener like Workforce Solutions Capillaria. And then you've got to have that education partner. So the three-legged stool, love that. We could sit on it, stand on it. That's what it takes. And lest we forget, we also heard that you were a bodyguard for America's perhaps most beloved television star. So all of that in just a brief conversation, Mark. This has been such a delight.
Well, thank you. What a wonderful day.
In the neighborhood.
In the neighborhood.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Austin Hires Local, powered by Workforce Solutions Capital Area. To learn more about what you heard today or to see what Workforce Solutions Capital Area can do for you, visit WFScapitalArea.com. To stay updated on new episodes, subscribe to Austin Hires Local on your podcast app of choice. Until next time.